Good afternoon. This is Chair Ruth Richardson, and pursuant to House Rule 10.01, I call this remote meeting of the Education Policy Committee to order. The clerk will take the roll for attendance.
Chair Richardson?
Present.
Vice Chair Hassan?
Present.
Representative Erickson?
Erickson, present.
Representative Bennett?
Present.
Representative Berg?
Present.
Representative Bowe?
Bowe is present.
Representative Christensen?
Present.
Representative Joskowski? Representative Joskowski excused. Representative Edelson?
Present.
Representative Feist?
Present.
Representative Frazier? Representative Frazier? Representative Jordan?
Jordan, present.
Representative Keeler?
Keeler, present.
Representative Moeller?
Present.
Representative Mueller?
Mueller, present.
Representative Poston?
Poston, present.
Representative Scott?
Scott, present.
Representative Erdahl?
Erdahl, present.
Representative Wasluwick?
Present.
Representative Frazier? Madam Chair, a quorum is present.
Thank you. Next on the agenda, we have the approval of the minutes from February 7th, 2022. Representative Moeller, have you had an opportunity to review those minutes?
I have, Madam Chair, and I would move those minutes.
Thank you, Representative Moeller. Members, I'd ask all to mute. All in favor of Representative Moeller's motion to approve the minutes from February 7th, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Up next on the agenda, we have House File 3079. Vice Chair Hassan will be presenting her bill on the Teachers of Color Act. Vice Chair Hassan, would you like to move House File 3079 to be referred to the Committee on Education Finance?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hassan. So members, we will have a time certain vote on this bill at 2:15 p.m. today, and we will ask members to hold their questions until we get through the testimony, and then there's also an amendment that we will work through before getting to questions from members on Vice Chair Hassan's bill. Vice Chair Hassan, please explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to present the legislation to increase teachers of color and American Indian teachers. I'm pleased to be the lead author on House File 3079, the 2022 Increase Teacher of Color Act. You may recall this committee and the House adopted all provisions in the 2021 Increase Teachers of Color Act in our omnibus bill last session. The vast majority of this year's bill language is from last year's policy bill, which didn't pass through the conference committee despite having a majority of Republican authors on the Senate companion bill. This bill is important to me because I believe all the students benefit from having teachers of color in their classroom. And the policy provisions in this bill are crucial to ensuring a strong return on state investment. The proposed policies in this bill have been vetted and supported dozens of education and community organizations over the years. These policies promote the system change needed with increased investments that are needed to move the needle and increase the percentage of teachers who reflect our increasingly diverse student population across the state. The main policy differences in this bill compared to last year's bill include Section 4, creating a new grant program called Closing the Education Opportunity Gaps Grant. Section 8 prohibits American Indian mascots, which is the language we adopted from the governor's bill last year. Section 14, revamping the important collaborative urban and greater Minnesota Educators of Color grant program to address the recommendations to the legislator from the Office of Legislative Auditor's report about the program. With that, Madam Chair and members, I don't want to take too much time because I'm excited that given the increased accessibility of this virtual meeting format, we have some special guest testifiers, including the 2021 Minnesota Teachers of the Year and several exciting students from various parts of our state. I look forward to your questions and comments after the testifiers. Madam Chair, we can move to the testifiers now.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hassan. So before we begin with the testifiers that you have identified, I will just let each of the testifiers know that we have 2 minutes allotted for each of you to speak. And our CA, Sydney Spreck, will message in the Zoom chat when you have 30 seconds left. And she will also message when you have hit the time limit. First up, we have Natalia Benjamin, the 2021 Minnesota Teacher of the Year. And on deck, we have Ozamala Obasakin. Natalia Benjamin, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay? Just want to check. Thank you. Hi, Natalia Benjamin, teacher in Rochester, Minnesota. Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Natalia Benjamin, and I am a high school teacher in Rochester, Minnesota. I teach multilingual learners and ethnic studies to 9th through 12th graders, and I am the 2021 Minnesota Teacher of the Year. While Rochester Public School student population is growing increasingly more diverse, with a total of 44% students of color, teachers of color comprise only 4% of the teaching force in our district, mirroring the state ratio. Let me share some experiences to share why this bill is so important for the success of all students in Minnesota schools, and particularly students of color. Language in this bill would require materials that accurately reflect the diversity of the state of Minnesota. I teach students from many cultural groups of people who make Minnesota their home. Many of these communities have deep roots in Minnesota history, but are less known to everyone when our curriculum focuses on Eurocentric perspectives. My oldest two children didn't get a chance to study any Latin American history and perspectives until they attended college. My daughter has never had the opportunity to have a teacher that looks like her until she enrolled in the ethnic studies class that I teach at her school. Children and young adults develop their identities through their school years. Imagine what it would be like to sell them, if ever, to see yourself in the books reading class, the people who teach you, or the people who are the focus of classroom lessons. All student mirror texts. Oh, sorry. Hi, I'm getting my papers a little messed up. Sorry. All students need text metaphorically that are mirrors, text and lessons where they can see themselves. They need also windows, opportunities to learn from other people's and stories, and also doors that can serve as examples that can help them find opportunities to find success. At the beginning of the school year, we did some get-to-know-you activities. After students took turns asking me questions, I asked them if they found any similarities between them and me. "You're an immigrant just like me, Ms. Benjamin," one of the students remarked. That comment pierced to the core of my heart. I knew right then that I had the opportunity to be a mirror, reflecting back similar experiences, but also a door to show them a path to success in new environments. For others, I could also be a window. While many of my students and I share identities as immigrants, we all come from diverse backgrounds and experiences, so we learn from each other. This is why language in this bill, such as ensuring school environments and curriculum, validate, affirm, embrace, and integrate cultures and community strengths of students, families, and employees from all racial and ethnic backgrounds is so important. Specific courses, such as ethnic studies, provide opportunities for students to have access to study the experiences of people of color within and beyond the United States. In our ethnic studies class, we learn about our own individual identities, and by sharing these, we appreciate our diversity. Toward the end of the semester as a class, we take a look at our own community, and we map the assets of our community, and we brainstorm ideas about what things we would like to make better. Students are able to choose topics that are relevant and important to them. Some of them commented, "I learned that communities are important assets to any individual. I thought it was cool that our class was able to help serve our community and help make changes to make this experience better for all." When I asked them why their peers should take this class, one of them said, yes, I feel it should be a class that is required because this helps you understand your peers and just explore your own identities. As you can see, ethnic studies is more than a history class for students to explore absent narratives. Ethnic studies is a multidisciplinary class that incorporates many humanities disciplines to empower students to become problem solvers and positive contributors to their communities as they examine their communities from multiple perspectives. The combination of all of these factors can increase positive experiences in school for all students, and in return, close the opportunity gaps that exist in our state for the students of color. I urge you to incorporate the language proposed in this bill so that we can create positive school environments for our future generations. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. And just one item, I misspoke. The testifiers that are here on behalf of Vice Chair Hassan will have 4 minutes to speak. Up next, we have Ozamali Abasakin. And if I'm mispronouncing that, please correct me when you introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Madam Chair and members, my name is Ozamali Abasakin. I am a third grader at Highland Elementary School. Let's say there is a new kid in class and he is Black. He may not feel comfortable because he had just moved here, and he may not be comfortable with the new teachers and classmates because they don't look like him. That's how I feel sometimes when there's not many people that look like me or have some things in common about our culture. I have noticed since kindergarten to third grade, I've always had white teachers. I've never seen any Black teachers in my life, and this is sad. There should be teachers of different colors and cultures teaching in our school. It's upsetting sometimes, especially when you really want it to happen, but you feel like it will never happen because it's too hard. It's frustrating. 2 weeks ago, I was sitting with my friend on the bus. All of a sudden, I feel someone poking me. I said, please stop. She just popped up. It was a preschooler, and she was like, oh, you are Black. You are poor, and you don't even look nice. You look like poop. You don't have any money for food or water. And I'm like, that's not true. We do have food, shelter, and water. She said, that's not true. You're lying because you want to be just like me. She wouldn't leave us alone, so I told the bus driver, and he said, okay, I will talk to her. When I got home, I told my parents. When I told the bus driver, who is white, they didn't know what to do because he has never experienced this. But when I told my dad, he could relate to what happened because he was bullied due to racism. Thank you.
Thank you for coming today, and thank you for sharing your story. Incredibly brave. We appreciate you coming to the committee today. Up next, we have Regina Zapata, and on deck, we have Ava Roots. Regina Zapata, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hello, Madam Chair and members. My name is Regina Zapata. I'm 38 years old, and I've been a resident of Crookston, Minnesota for 24 years. I am Hispanic, and I have had the opportunity to go to school in the South and in the North. When I attended school in the South, I saw many teachers of color and ethnicities. As I attended school in the North, it was just one ethnicity, one race. I am also a mom of four daughters. Two have already graduated, and one is about to graduate this year. I just came to realize that they have never had a teacher of color. With the student population here of having 24% of Latinx, there is not one teacher of color to relate to or to look up to. I have also been involved with our local Head Start for the last 14 years in different roles. Currently, I am a Head Start teacher. In those years of employment, I have always felt welcome with the Head Start. I have felt like my culture matters here. They embrace me. My class usually runs from Monday through Thursday from 7:45 to 4 p.m. On Fridays, that is our planning day. But in recent years, we have taken on a collaboration room that is housed at the public elementary. This class is a mix of Head Start eligible kids and non-eligible kids. I'm sometimes called to sub in this class under the Head Start. When I arrive, I'm usually not greeted with a hello, but with why are you here? When I explain to them why I am there, it's usually just like a roll of the eyes and nothing else is said, as if I'm less than them, as if I don't fit in because I'm not their color. I am the only one at the Head Start that is visibly Hispanic. But I've always felt welcome, like I said before. And I don't know that I would have stayed employed for as long as I have with the public school if I had to work there all the time. I just don't feel the welcoming of them like I do here. As a preschool teacher...
We're at time, so if you could wrap up with your final comment, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. As a preschool teacher, we have always talked about our skin color with the kids and why I'm not the same color as them. And I could see the children's, you know, eyes and interest of why I'm not, you know, their color. And without me and without my brown skin, they would never have known that. So I feel like Crookston really needs this bill. Minnesota really needs this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, we have Ava Roots, and on deck, we have Rhea Rajvanish. Ava Roots, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Ava Roots, and I am a representative from the Minnesota Youth Council and a junior at Stillwater Area High School. And I really wanted to testify today precisely because this bill represents everything I've never had in my educational career. And that's really been teachers of color and teachers who reflect and understand the variety of different cultures that we come from. And I think throughout my experience, there's been a lot of moments that have demonstrated this gap, but none more so than when I was in math class in middle school. And I remember one of the teachers had come in and he was asking students if he should enroll his son into the gifted and talented program. And this was a class of students who were 2 to 3 years ahead. And he looked around and he was asking people to like raise their hands if they were in the GATE program. And all the white students raised their hands and none of the students of color raised their hands minus 1 or 2. And I think that this really demonstrates some of the systemic gaps that occur precisely because we really only have white teachers in 40% of our schools, and we have very few teachers of color as a whole. What our data in Minnesota and nationally shows us is that students of color are more likely to be recognized and placed into these programs if they have teachers of color. And students of color are more likely to succeed in general if they have teachers of color. As we remain 50th in the nation when it comes to racial disparities and education gaps, I think that incorporating this bill and precisely in supporting our teachers of color is how we begin to close this gap. When I look back on my educational career, I look back and I think about what would have happened if I had teachers who reflected me, if I had teachers who would understand why and how to respond to kids running their hands through my hair and asking if I could be their pet, if I could be their poodle for a day. And when I look back, I just think so much about this gap in particular and how having someone who represented me could have changed my experience as a student as a whole and my relationship with an education system that has always been white. With the most intelligent and educated people around me only being white, I think that that has fundamentally shaped who I am, and this is why we need this bill. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony and for sharing a bit of your story today. We appreciate it. Up next, we have Rhea Rajvanish, and on deck, we have Brianna Lathan. Rhea Rajvanish, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, and members of the committee. My name is Rhea Rajvanish, and I am a senior at Eastview High School in the Rosemont, Apple Valley, and Egan School District. I am also a member of the Minnesota Youth Council, where I serve as an at-large member and serve on behalf of Congressional District 2. Before I start, I'd like to acknowledge that I come from a fairly affluent area and a well-to-do family. When most kids pass by me in the hallway, they probably assume that I don't go through many struggles at school. And to be completely honest, I don't. I get good scores on tests and thrive in my academic course load. However, the Increased Teacher of Colors Act is not just about raising test scores and helping BIPOC youth better their academic standings. There is also an intangible aspect of the Increased Teachers of Colors Act that I'd like to speak on today. I have been competing on my school's speech and debate team for 4 years, and this has been one of the highlights of my high school career. However, this past year, there was a serious issue that came up in my speech and debate team. While I wanted to report it, I didn't know who to report it to, as I didn't feel comfortable telling my white, middle-aged male coaches. However, if I had a BIPOC teacher, mentor, or advisor in speech and debate, I am sure I would have immediately brought this issue up to them. Oftentimes, students of color, like me, aren't able to have organic conversations with their teachers as we don't feel like we can be heard. Because of this, BIPOC students' concerns are often suppressed and left unheard. This issue extends to younger students, too. As a leader in my district, several young girls, especially those of color, come to me with their concerns. They do this as they feel more comfortable sharing their issues with me rather than the staff in our district. While I love talking to them, unfortunately, as a student, I'm not able to address all of their issues. This is exactly why it is imperative we pass the Increased Teacher of Colors Act so that we can foster inclusivity and diversity in our school systems, so youth and adults can have raw conversations, and so students aren't left studying in suffocating environments where they feel hushed. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. We appreciate you visiting today. Up next, we have Brianna Lathan, and on deck, we have Ariane Gordon-Jackson. Brianna Lathan, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. My name is Brianna Lathan, and I'm a teacher at Valley Middle School of STEM in Apple Valley. I would like to thank you for your time today in allowing me to speak my truth as a Black history teacher within our state. I have been in District 196 for almost 2 decades now, and education and teaching history truly is my passion. I believe it is imperative that all of our young people, regardless of their age, have an educator of color in front of them. In my educational upbringing, I have been fortunate enough to have a handful of teachers that look like me, and they have helped shape and influence my decision in becoming an educator, but it wasn't until my undergrad. Truth be told, at that point, it just wasn't soon enough. All students must experience being taught by a teacher of color, but it is of the utmost importance for our Black and Brown students in our state. Teaching in the fourth largest school district in our state, where over 2,000 teachers, 125 of them in District 196 are staff of color or American Indian. That's only 5.3%. We have 41% higher than the state average of our 29,000 students that identify as students of color and American Indian. In District 196, we have over 30 schools, and some of the buildings themselves have zero staff of color, let alone teachers. We owe it to our students in the district and the state to provide systems that provide equal opportunities to students and that are free of institutional racism. Students need to be able to relate to teachers. And teachers need to be able to provide for all students, especially Black and Brown students, the opportunity to have an educator of color in front of them. I believe the proposed policies in this bill are necessary to recruit and retain more teachers of color like myself to teach all of our students. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you for your testimony as well. We appreciate you joining us today. Up next, we have Ariane Gordon-Jackson, and on deck, we have Sarah Ragunanen. Ariane Gordon-Jackson, please unmute yourself and introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. My name is Erin Gordon-Jackson, and I'm a junior at St. Paul Central High School. I'm a 16-year-old student of color, and I have been in the Minnesota education system for my entirety of grade school. I attended Chelsea Heights Elementary School, which has a 54% minority enrollment, Murray Junior High School, which has a 66% minority enrollment, and I currently attend Central High School, which has a percentage close to 70% of a minority enrollment. I've consistently seen and interacted with students that I am able to relate to, but I unfortunately cannot say the same for the teachers. In my 12 years of public education, I have had two teachers of color, both of which were during my eighth grade year. I had a Black English teacher and an Asian Global Studies teacher. I have never had a Native teacher, and by the looks of the demographic in my high school, that would continue to stand true. As I wrote this, it was difficult for me to grasp how little exposure I had to educators of color during my duration as a student. I frantically recited all of my teachers and past class schedules from memory, desperately trying to list more than two examples of teachers of color I have had for the past 12 years. A memory of mine I hold close to me is my experience with my eighth grade English teacher. I had always had Black teacher's aides or hall monitors, but never a Black teacher. She was a woman with one of the kindest souls I had ever come across and humor like no one I had ever met. Seeing someone similar to me holding a leadership position in a classroom was a concept I've never experienced before, and it felt extremely validating. When we would cover literature from the Civil Rights Movement or learn about different topics during MLK Day, Black History Month, or talk about the POC-oriented topics, the lesson didn't feel fabricated. I felt a sense of liberation from this one, seemingly small experience that I wish every student of color was able to feel at one point. I'm in full support of the Teachers of Color Improvement Act. I think it's extremely beneficial to place teachers of color in Minnesota schools, but in the most authentic way possible. I no longer want to see staff of color in only security positions or as hall monitors that are being demonized by the students for pushing them to go to class when they are only doing their job. I want to see staff of color in leadership positions and as teachers having hands-on experiences with the students in the classrooms. I want to see true development. I do not want to see the silencing of the future and current POC teachers. I want to finally see teachers of color being able to have input on the key decisions that affect their classroom. Teachers of color help close the accomplishment gap for students of color by providing them with representation and opportunity. I would like this act to be in action, but after we dismantle the racial bias within the hiring process and allocate more resources and spaces for teachers and students of color to feel truly and genuinely welcome. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony and for sharing your experience. I'm a graduate of Central High School as well, so we will have that in common when you graduate from Central High School. Good luck with your studies. Up next, we have Sarah Ragunanen, and on deck, we have Angela Nguyen. Sarah, if you could please mute yourself and correct my pronunciation of your name and introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. My name is Sarah Ragunanan. I'm a sophomore at Hiawatha Collegiate High School, and I'm also a member of the Minnesota Youth Council representing Congressional District 5. I was born and raised in South Minneapolis, and I have seen the diversity of the city. However, I've never seen that same diversity reflected in the staff at my school. At every school I've been to, the majority of the students have been students of color, and the majority of the staff have been white. While having mostly white teachers isn't bad, it's definitely not an accurate representation of my community and the students in it. How can we expect young students of color to thrive if when they go to school and they look at their teachers, they can't see themselves? Not having that representation can be really discouraging to you, especially when it happens so much that it becomes normal. It took me a while to realize that just because something is normal, that doesn't mean it's right. When I think about that 6-year-old brown girl that was too scared to ask to use the bathroom, and I look back at where I am today, I think to myself that maybe, just maybe, if I'd had that connection, I would have been more courageous because I would have seen that brown girls like me could have had such important roles in society. Not only would increasing teachers of color increase student success, it would also increase their happiness. As a first generation student of color myself, I can say that my experiences have shaped who I am today, and I know that other students of color relate to this as well. When you have someone teaching you that understands you and knows where you're coming from, it makes your classroom special. It makes the environment special, but most importantly, it makes you feel special. All students want to do is feel heard, seen, and valued in their classrooms. How can students of color do this when we aren't represented? Representation matters, and lack of representation is the reason there are little teachers of color in the first place. We can't see ourselves in this position, and it's time that we do. We are expected to go to school for 12 plus years, and after 12 years of not having a teacher that looks like you, it can be traumatizing, especially when teaching has such a big influence on the lives of students and where they go next. I can positively say that if there were more teachers of color, many students of color in my community that I know would have kept trying instead of giving up on school. All we need is connection, and there is no doubt in my mind that that starts with an increase of teachers of color. If all human beings gain interest when there is connection, why are students of color the exception? The students of color in my community aren't just my peers, they're my friends and my family, and I want to see us all succeed. But how are we supposed to succeed when we can't even see ourselves in these positions of success that we are expected to be in? Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, we have Angela Nguyen, and on deck, we have Antonio Hernandez. Angela, please unmute yourself, introduce yourself for the record, and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. My name is Angela Nguyen, and I'm an 11th grader at Harding Senior High School in St. Paul. Well, so as a little girl, I grew up as the only Vietnamese person in my classes, and I remember as a first grader, I went to school on Thot, or Lunar New Year, one of the most important days in Vietnamese culture and a celebration for a better and happier year for you reuniting with the family. There was a social worker named Ms. Nguyen who came into my classroom and gave me a lisi, or a red envelope containing money for the new year. My white teacher was silent until she left, with a curious stare, unknowing to what Ms. Nguyen gave me and continued on with the class. 7-year-old me waited there, fidgeting with that red envelope and in hopes of someone asking me what it meant. I decided to put it away and thought that it simply meant nothing but a dollar in a decorated envelope. Then came one day when I was 10 and a white man heard my mom speaking to me and yelled, "Get out of the way, alien." I remember having to pause and process what had just happened, and I never said anything, and I didn't know what to say. Despite living in one of the most diverse neighborhoods in Minnesota, racial issues were barely a topic of conversation in my classes. And I now flourish today at my school in groups like Asian American Organizing Project and Youth for Ethnic Studies as I became educated about ethnic studies and the beauty of not only my culture, but the communities around me. No longer embarrassed to pronounce, tell people how to pronounce my last name correctly and to educate them about Lunar New Year or to just talk about the finest Vietnamese cuisine. And that makes me think back to how my white teacher was uncomfortable to talk about and ask of my culture, or the racist man, and how the events would have gone better with an understanding of cultures, oppression, and resistance. Even for me, ethnic studies ignited my power in speaking about racial issues that I'm passionate to change, and it's needed for all students, no matter race or age, to no longer be ignorant of the issues and the powerful communities that we consist of. While all the students in my district will be required to complete an ethnic studies course, all students in the states must be able to access an ethnic studies curriculum because very few schools offer these crucial courses. And your support of this bill will change that. Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's hearing and sharing a little bit of your story with us today. We appreciate it. Up next, we have Antonio Hernandez, and on deck, we have Shannon Geshek. Antonio, please unmute yourself, introduce yourself for the record, and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and members. My name is Antonio Hernandez, and I am a 12th grade student at Colegio Charter School in Minneapolis. I believe having teachers is important and necessary part of education because it's like a reflection. I can see myself in them and with that gain a deeper understanding of myself and connecting with them. Seeing a person of color in a teaching role motivates me to become something bigger even though there's a lot of racism occurring in this country. It inspires me. Someone who is proud of who they are and where they came from is incredibly encouraging and inspiring, pushing me to go above and beyond. I always appreciate how my school, El Colegio, pushes me to consider different points of view and many different perspectives, not just the popular ones. We get to think critically about history through different lenses, not just the dominant narratives. I think more public schools should teach African and Afro-Latino history, Asian history, Latino history, as well as ethnic studies. Having teachers of my color in my school, especially teachers who incorporate these different points of view in every class, has helped me to see my family, myself, and my community as not villains, but heroes. Having the reputation that, as well being exposed to diverse perspective, fosters inclusion to everyone. Teachers who honor that diversity helps foster safety and feelings welcome, no matter one's race, sexual orientation, or gender's identity. Even if there are obstacles in our own life, these teachers, all my teachers, and a special shout out to Ms. Christina and Mr. Steve, have helped me motivate have helped me motivate myself and show me that I can go further, that nothing is truly impossible. Thank you.
Thank you for participating today and sharing a bit of your experience and story with us. Up next, we have Shannon Geshek, and then we'll move on to public testimony. On deck, we have Adosh Uni. Shannon Geshek, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members. My name is Shannon Geshek. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. On behalf of our council and the three state ethnic councils representing Minnesotans of African, Asian, and Latinx heritage, we ask you to read our joint written testimony we couldn't address today, but explains why it is urgent for you to fully support this bill as you thankfully supported last year's Increased Teachers of Color Act. Miigwech, thank you for your support and leadership on this issue, which is our top joint priority in education.
Thank you, Ms. Geshek, and sorry for mispronouncing your last name. Up next, we have Adosh Uni, Director of Government Relations with the Department of Education, and on deck, we have Yelena Bailey. Mr. Uni, please unmute yourself, introduce yourself, and proceed with your testimony.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Adosh Uni. I am the Director of Government Relations for the Minnesota Department of Education. I just wanted to provide some brief comments on the policy language, on some of the policy language in the bill in front of us today that align with the policy language that the department has carried in the past, and that will be in the governor's 2022 education policy bill. Many of these proposals provide supports, expectations, goals, and aspirations around creating a more inclusive and affirming teaching and learning environment, modifications to statutes for the world's best workforce, evaluation and development programs, and achievement and integration programs that recognize the commitment to a more culturally responsive and inclusive environment, provide supports within important systems and programs for all of our students. Setting a state goal for increasing the percentage of teachers of color and American Indian teachers and ensuring students have access to teachers who reflect their diversity is a common sense goal that we should all adopt. We know that students do better when they have access to more diverse teachers that look like them. This legislature made a serious commitment to that last year with its funding priorities, and it should do the same in policy. Finally, we're also happy to see two of the proposals from our American Indian Education package in this bill, a prohibition on depicting American Indians as mascots without an exemption from TNAC and MIAC, and affirming the right of American Indian students to wear tribal regalia at graduation ceremonies. Both of these policy changes would make important and far past due changes to affirming our American Indian students, families, and tribal nations. Again, thank you for the opportunity to provide support for several of these important items in this bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, we have Yelena Bailey with PELSB, and on deck, we have Nafisa Mohammed. Ms. Bailey, please, or Dr. Bailey, please unmute yourself, introduce yourself, and proceed with your testimony.
Madam Chair, Vice Chair Hassan, and members of the committee, thank you for having me here today. My name is Yelena Bailey, and I am the Director of Education Policy for the Professional Educator Licensing and Standards Board. For the past several years, the board has voted to formally support the proposals included in HF 3079. It's well known that there is a large disparity between the racial makeup of Minnesota students and teachers. Research has shown that having more teachers of color and Indigenous teachers is extremely beneficial for all students, but especially students of color. As the number of students of color continues to increase in the state, it is essential that we work together to foster a similar increase in teachers of color. While this goal is a challenging one, HF 3079 includes several key policy changes that would bring us closer to achieving it. The first policy change I would like to highlight is the establishment of a state goal around teacher diversity. State leaders, students, teachers, parents, and community members continually express the need to increase teachers of color and Indigenous teachers in Minnesota. While we are all working to meet this need, establishing a state goal would strengthen this work by making it measurable and transparent. Additionally, the collaborative work between PELSB, the Department of Education, and the Office of Higher Education would ensure state efforts to increase teachers of color are coordinated and complementary, therefore increasing their impact. Additionally, by collaborating, our agencies will have a better sense of state policies and funding impacts, which will improve future policy recommendations. Another provision that we would have a dramatic impact on increasing teachers of color is the removal of testing requirements. For those who have completed teacher prep, currently about one-third who hold a Tier 2 license have completed teacher prep, and the only thing preventing them from obtaining a Tier 3 license are the licensure exams. About 30% of those folks are teachers of color. Whatever one may believe about the validity or importance of these exams, we can hopefully all agree that teacher preparation is rigorous and that those who complete preparation have already demonstrated their capacity for success in the profession. I'll wrap up by saying the other two proposals are changes to the Collaborative Urban and Greater Minnesota Educator of Color Grant and the Teacher Mentorship Grant, both of which will respond to feedback from the Office of the Legislative Auditor and from grantees in sustaining programs that will actually meet these state goals.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, we have Nafisa Mohammed, and on deck, we have Laura Mogelson. Nafisa Mohammed, please unmute yourself, introduce yourself for the record, and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Nafisa Mohammed, and I am an English teacher at Henry High School in North Minneapolis. I've only taught in North Minneapolis schools with a population of 95% students of color, never less than 75% Black students. Aren't Black, Indigenous, and all other children of color human too? White friends, don't all children of color deserve their humanity to be recognized in their educational experiences, just like you and your children and their children's children? When we talk about the hiring and retaining of teachers of color, we are talking about a human rights issue. We know the direct correlation of a quality education to the quality of life. Please tell me, where in Minnesota are there a majority white English-speaking children sent to a school only taught by a cultural cornucopia of non-English speakers who had minimal knowledge base of English language, American history, and American culture? Instead, they only use text and curriculum that only mirror their cultural backgrounds. Additionally, these white children are punished for acting too white because no teachers understand their American culture. Perhaps there are two or three white support staff who are underpaid and work multiple jobs in the schools because they are true experts of the English language and American history and culture. Tell me, where in Minnesota does this exist? Nowhere. It does exist, however, for thousands of Black, Indigenous, and other children of color. It is a privilege of white children to benefit from the role model effect and the neurological connection between cultural recognition, validation, and affirmation. Our minds and emotions are what make us human. Aren't Black, Indigenous, and other children of color human too? How is this not an urgent civil rights issue? Today, you have the power to bring justice to thousands of children by increasing college scholarships and student teaching grants for BIPOC students becoming teachers, require school districts to address institutional racism within their school policies, structures, and practices to close opportunity achievement gaps. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony and participating today. Up next, we have Laura Mogelson, and on deck, we have Amina Mohammed. Laura Mogelson, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. My name is Laura Mogelson, and I'm here representing the Minnesota Association of Colleges of Teacher Education, or MACTE. Representative Richardson, I'm also your constituent, and I would like to highlight some data from one of the attachments for today's meeting that shows the percentages of students of color in our district is 51%, compared to the percentage of licensed staff of color is only 7%. So I'm here in support of a few specific actions that we can take to close this 44% gap. I would like to speak in support of some specific components in the Increased Teachers of Color Act. This legislation represents necessary work to strengthen existing programs and to create new efforts needed to attract, prepare, license, and retain an increased percentage of BIPOC teachers in Minnesota. First of all, included in this legislation are policy changes in the Collaborative Urban and Greater Minnesota Educators of Color Grant Program, or CUGMEC, in response to the OLA audit. We support the language in the bill that clarifies selection and reporting criteria. This legislation is vitally important in recruiting and providing direct financial and programmatic support. Another part of this bill is a request to increase support of the Grow Your Own grant program. Grow Your Own models of teacher preparation are an essential way for districts to grow their own non-licensed staff into teachers, effectively decreasing this representational disparity. This grant program has seen a huge expansion of interest in the past few years, and it relies on continued and expanded funding. Another provision that Dr. Bailey spoke to is related to the issue of testing. In Minnesota, all providers are required to show how standards are met and assessed. So in a typical graduate education teacher prep program, a teacher candidate takes 30 to 36 credits of coursework aligned to the standards. In addition, they have to do pre-student teaching field experience and student teaching. They're currently also required to pass content and pedagogy exams before a provider can recommend them for Tier 3 license. So we support eliminating these content and pedagogy licensure exams for completers of Minnesota preparation programs. These tests have kept thousands of competent white and BIPOC teachers from becoming Tier 3 teachers. So in conclusion, MACD supports increasing the diversity of Minnesota's teaching force through strategies to recruit, support, and prepare and retain teachers of color, including provisions in this bill. Only comprehensive and bold work like this is going to make a difference. Thank you.
Thank you so much for participating and for your testimony today. Up next, we have Amina Mohammed. Please unmute, introduce yourself for the record, and proceed with your testimony.
Hello, Chair Richardson, Representative Hassan, and members of the committee. My name is Amina Mohammed, and I'm a current student at Augsburg University majoring in elementary education. I would like to discuss the importance of having teachers of color in Minnesota and how we can keep teachers in the field for longer than the 3 to 5 year stage of early teaching. Once I enter the field, I would appreciate having teacher mentors of color for teachers who are new in the field. Teachers in the field can have someone they can turn to for support and motivation. The benefit of having a mentor teacher is that they can supervise you, provide you with suggestions, improvements made in the classroom, and guide you during your early stage of teaching journey. Allowing access to the teacher mentors of color can decrease the 3 to 5 year retention rate and keep teachers of color in the teaching profession. Students here in Minnesota throughout the country come from several different backgrounds. Students need role models they can relate to and see more representation and diversity in the teaching profession. This is where my passion to teach here in Minnesota comes from. My goal as a future educator in Minnesota is to expand and embrace culture of diversity in schools and the teaching profession. This causes every student to feel like they are seen in the classroom and can relate to the teacher, which leads to students feeling comfortable in the classroom. It is important that children are able to learn about other cultures from teachers of all backgrounds, not solely from books. Teachers of color can share real experiences and bring perspectives not brought up or represented previously, which other teachers can also learn, not just students. Throughout my 16 plus years of education, I have never experienced nor gotten the opportunity to have a teacher of color or a teacher that looks like me. Children need role models they can relate to and feel understood by. Another topic I would like to discuss is licensure testing. Students of color do not have access to the same resources and finances to help prepare for their licensure testing. It would be beneficial for there to be tests for finances or accommodations that schools can provide for every student to reflect that. Augsburg University education majors are thankful for this bill introduced by Representative Hassan and hope to strengthen its goal and what it is aiming for. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We have two final testifiers, also with Augsburg Education, who I think are going to testify together. Higmo Ali, Sitla Flores, if you could unmute, introduce yourself for the record, and proceed with your testimony.
Hello, and thank you, Madam Chair Richardson, Representative Hassan, and the members of the committee for letting us speak in favor of House File HF3079. This is a combined testimony of education major students at Augsburg University. We, Yigma Ali, Sitlali Flores, and Amina Mohammed are students at Augsburg University who are planning on becoming future educators and are people of color ourselves. Our passion to become future teachers here in Minnesota begins with the importance of having children of all backgrounds see representation in the teaching profession. Although there is a great amount of diversity in some classrooms, there seems to be a lack of diversity in the teaching profession. We would have benefited from the experience of having teachers from different backgrounds during our education years, from our own culture and others. Our goal as future educators in Minnesota is to expand and embrace the culture of diversity in schools and the teaching profession.
This act is helpful for students of color to get into the field of teaching, but still needs more expansion to accommodate for the still large disparity in the field and to allow for more participants. There needs to be more scholarship opportunities for a variety of ethnicities and nationalities, including DACA students, as there are not many scholarship opportunities for teachers and specifically BIPOC. The CookMed grant program is a type of program we would all benefit from and would love to take advantage of. From our experience, one of our biggest obstacles was our finances, which is why scholarships and grants are imperative. The reality is that majority of teachers are cis white men and women, which does not reflect the diversity of schools in Minnesota. Increasing the diversity in the teaching profession is just a step to close the achievement gap. And our passion as students has always been to driven us to opportunities like this to help, and that's why we want to help strengthen the bill and get it out to more students.
Thank you for your time.
Yep.
Thank you so much for your testimony. And Sitlali, my apologies for mispronouncing your name. We do have one final public testifier, Regina Seabrook. Please unmute yourself, introduce yourself for the record, and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the House Education Policy Committee. My name is Regina Seabrook, and I am one of the tri-chairs of the Coalition to Increase Teachers of Color and American Indian Teachers. I serve as a tri-chair on the Core Steering Committee. Thank you for today's hearing and for adopting all provisions from last year's bill in your omnibus bill last session. This hearing has given us the opportunity to listen to the powerful testimonies from youth and educators. This bill is the sixth version of the Increase Teachers of Color Act since the first one in 2017. A year earlier, during the 2016 legislative session, when Republicans led the House and Democrats led the Senate, we successfully advocated to get several statutes amended. These amendments stated all students shall have equitable access to effective and diverse teachers and who reflect the diversity of students in their schools. As you heard today, students still do not have equitable access to teachers of color. However, if Minnesota students today did have equitable access to teachers who reflect the students' diversity, there would be 22,000 teachers of color and American Indian teachers. Instead, there are fewer than 3,000 teachers of color. We're in a very deep hole that needs your support of important policy changes to close these opportunity gaps and help ensure state investments lead to positive outcomes. Tens of thousands of students in Minnesota will go through their entire K-12 education without ever having the opportunity to learn from even one teacher of color or American Indian teacher. Think about the long-term and short-term effects this has on students. Think about never having the opportunity to learn from the cultural knowledge and experiences we teachers of color bring to the classroom and our students and families. Another effect of the shortage of teachers of color is the drain of this severe and persistent shortage on our economy. Society and the economy will benefit from more teachers of color because K-12 and higher education opportunity and achievement gaps will narrow if you pass the proposed policies in this bill that will lead to systemic change. The largest state investment last year was in the Grow Your Own grant program, and there was an overwhelming response that more than 50 districts seeking more than 4 times the amount appropriated. For plants and crops to grow well, we know that they need good soil and climate. That's why the policy provisions in this bill are also very crucial. They will improve learning and work environments to help ensure a return on existing state investments and the larger investments that are still needed. Our broad coalition and this legislation have a wide base of support from a variety of groups that don't always agree on education issues. We are grateful that several of you—
Ms. Seabrook, I'm gonna ask you to wrap up because we're at time. Okay.
The time is now for systemic change to do what's right. The students can't wait any longer, as you've heard. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Next on the agenda, we have a DE2 amendment from Representative Erickson. Representative Erickson, would you like to move your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do move the DE2 amendment to this House File 3079 and ask for a roll call.
Roll call being requested. We will have a roll call. Representative Erickson, please present your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm honored to present this DE 2 amendment on behalf of Representative Lisa Damuth, who introduced House File 238 last year and put together this proposal that really focuses on teacher retention and removes barriers that are preventing, I'm sure, many candidates or many opportunities for teachers of color for our BIPOC community. So let me just walk through the amendment as quickly as I can. First of all, changing the definition so that all tiered licenses are considered professional licenses is very important because we have mostly minority teachers receiving Tier 1 and Tier 2. And I think it's an insult if we look at their accomplishments other than professional. So that's something that should be considered, is the definition of a license, whether it's 1, 2, 3, or 4 of the tiers, should be considered professional. Next, a recommendation to repeal the requirement for schools to post and try to hire tiers 2, 3, or 4 before retaining a tier 1 teacher. Keep in mind that only 5% of tier 3 or 4 teachers are teachers of color versus 24% of tiers 1 and 2. So it is really important that districts be able to consider teachers of color because they probably will end up hiring white teachers if they are not given this possibility to post and try to hire a tier 1 or tier 2 teacher, especially a tier 1, or retain that tier 1. The next proposal, the tier 2 license no longer is required to be requested by a school district. What I'm looking at and what Representative Damuth looked at was that a qualified applicant may apply directly to PALSB for a Tier 2 license, and the license would be transferable. And the Tier 2 would still have the same educator background checks as every other license does. But to no longer require that request to go through a school district is really going to encourage many more applicants out there to go for this instead of having to go through the district first. So I know that Representative Damon thought this was a very good proposal to bring forth to encourage more teachers of color to enter our profession. Next, the prohibition on the use of seniority in the hiring or dismissal of a teacher. This is known as LIFO, last in, first out. And too frequently we find that teachers of color are last hired, but they're first fired. And we need to get rid of this policy if we're going to retain. This is another barrier, as each one of those proposals that I brought forth on behalf of Representative Damuth are here to remove barriers, to remove the obstacles that are keeping our teachers, our candidates, our students who are enrolled in programs, who are a minority, to enter into this profession. This last in, first out has hurt us for decades, and it needs to end. In fact, we've had teachers of the year dismissed because they were last in, first out. Next, a prohibition on prioritizing tiers 1 and 2 when unrequested leave does come up. We know that we have highly qualified teachers in our classrooms who are using tiers 1 and tiers 2, and it's very important that we retain them because we want to look at quality first. Quality is so important, and I know that we have among that 24% of BIPOC teachers in our classroom. They are highly qualified, and they should not be put on the chopping block to be let go because they are absolutely needed in our classrooms, and I know are doing a good job. Next, this proposal expands the Collaborative Urban and Greater Minnesota Educators of Color Grant Program to include assisting teacher candidates to obtain a Tier 1 or a Tier 2 license. Currently, law provides for Tier 3 only, and this could be expanded also to include the Alternative Teacher Preparation Program, which I know Representative Damuth was very supportive of. You know, current law limits it to a higher education institution, and as I reviewed the grants that are out there for our Grow Your Own programs, I've noticed that we have residency, but we have relationships only with those programs that are found within our teacher preparation programs in our colleges. So this would be a really good change for retaining teachers and getting more candidates into the field. It also repeals language that gives preference to prior grant recipients in awarding these competitive grants. You know, they're primarily metro-based, and we need to get more of this into rural Minnesota. So I look forward to some really good support on this amendment. Finally, it expands the Grow Your Own Grant program to include supporting Tier 1 and Tier 2 teachers to obtain qualifications to proceed through the tiers. You know, we've had this mindset that if you get a Tier 1, you're never going to advance to a Tier 2 or 2 or 3. But we want to encourage, as I did when I put together the tiered licensure system, we want to encourage those who are in Tier 1 now to know that they can become a Tier 2 and then a Tier 3. You know, the tier program can, you know, I guess we look at it as a residency pathway, and we want to support those candidates who want to move forward and earn their ability to enter the classroom as a qualified Tier 1 or 2 teacher who's working toward a Tier 3, maybe even a Tier 4. So, Madam Chair, that ends the parts of this amendment that are based on Representative Damon's House File 238 that she introduced last year. I will stand for questions, but this is really a proposal that removes barriers and focuses on teacher retention. We've got to stop LIFO, and we have to improve our teacher preparation programs wherever they might be, and this is one way to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Vice Chair Hassan, to the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I want to thank Rep. Erickson for bringing this amendment. I respectfully disagree with you. I'm having conversations with Rep. Damon. We have the same concern here. I do want to retain teachers of color. I want to have more teachers of color in the classroom, and we want to retain them, and we want to make sure that we can make this journey as, you know, pleasant as possible by connecting them with mentors, by making sure that we can move barriers and hurdles in the way. But I don't believe, you know, getting rid of LIFO is the only solution. I will connect with Rep. Damon, and I will continue to work with her. Last year, we worked with some of the unions to come up with a language that makes change in LIFO to make sure that we can still retain teachers of color and American Indian teachers in the classroom. And I will definitely continue to work with all stakeholders to make sure that we can have a language that protects teachers of color, and we can retain them, but also doesn't, put other teachers of color, in a very vulnerable place. Because I could see that, you know, LIFO being used also, like getting rid of the most expensive teachers because they are the ones that are, you know, have been there, and or teachers of color who do not agree with their principals and superiors. So I will, you know, thread carefully with this and make sure that we can do two things. We can still, you know, retain teachers of color and still have protection for other teachers who have been in this field for many years, who are doing a wonderful job. People don't go to education. I mean, you are an educator, so I don't want to, you know, preach the choir here, but people go into education because they're passionate. They don't go into education because they make money or it's a glamorous job. It's a really hard job. So we want to make sure that we can keep our teachers of color as well as protect other teachers who could be vulnerable if we get rid of LIFO. And I'm working with all stakeholders, so I respectfully decline, and I will say please vote no. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hassan. Rep. Erickson renews her motion to adopt the DE2 amendment. A roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll on the DE2 amendment.
Chair Richardson?
Richardson, no.
Vice Chair Hassan?
Vice Chair Hassan, no.
Representative Erickson?
Erickson votes aye.
Representative Bennett?
Bennett, aye.
Representative Berg?
Berg, no.
Representative Bowe?
Bowe, aye.
Representative Christensen?
Aye.
Representative Joskowski?
Aye.
Representative Edelson?
Yes.
Representative Feist?
Feist, no.
Representative Frazier? Representative Jordan?
Jordan, no.
Representative Keeler?
Keeler, no.
Representative Moeller?
No.
Edelson changes to no.
Noted. Representative Mueller?
Mueller votes yes.
Representative Poston?
Poston, yes.
Representative Scott?
Scott, yes.
Representative Erdahl?
Yes.
Representative Wasilewicz?
No.
Madam Chair, there are 9 ayes and 9 nays.
With a vote of 9 nays and 9 ayes, the motion does not prevail. The DE2 amendment is not adopted.
Chair, we have one more representative who just joined.
Is that Representative Frazier, perhaps?
Yes.
Yes.
Representative Frazier?
Yes.
Do you vote yay or nay on the DE2 amendment?
I vote nay.
Thank you. The amended count would be 9 ayes, yays, and 10 nays.
With 10 nays and 9 ayes, the motion does not prevail. The DE2 amendment is not adopted. We will now move on to member questions and discussions. Please use the raised hand feature. The first hand I see is Representative Wasilewicz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say thank you to all the students and teachers and soon-to-be teachers and everyone else who testified today to talk about the need for increasing the teachers of color across our state. And I did want to, this is maybe a question for any of the teachers. I don't have a specific person in mind with the question, but if someone has an example they could share. You know, one of the things we've heard over the last several years when we've had teachers testifying in support of this and similar legislation is sort of a sense of isolation that they often feel, especially if they're the only person of color who's a teacher at a school. And also, you know, teachers have noted microaggressions and blatant racism that they've experienced in the school community. I'm wondering if any of the teachers have had sort of positive experiences in figuring that those sorts of things out, like have districts and schools been supportive in addressing those issues? Have there been any, you know, solutions, and especially to the isolation piece, I think that can be really difficult for teachers of color when they're the only teacher of color in the school. So I don't know if any of the teachers, I think there were 4 or 5 of them who spoke, could maybe address that. And I know it's a complicated question, but if someone could take that on, I would appreciate it.
Thank you, Rep. Wasilewicz. I cannot see everyone who's still on the call, but we had the 2021 Teacher of the Year, Natalia Benjamin. If you are still on the call, would you be able to answer Rep. Wasilewicz's question potentially?
Yes, and I just want to make sure I'm understanding your question. So mostly regarding what districts are doing to help with isolation and incidents, like racialized incidents, like microaggressions, is that?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. I would say it's that there's 2 sides to this. One is addressing people's experiences as what their peers. And I think that is still definitely a work in progress. We don't have enough professional development for everybody to really understand what microaggressions are, how they present in the classroom, and how do you combat those, not just in the classroom, but in the workplace, and how what do you do to address them? So we have a need for more education when it comes to everybody understanding those. When it comes to teachers of color experiencing these, I think, like you mentioned, it's hard because of the isolation. We have two or maybe, if any, teachers of color in a specific building. And so when something happens, there's very few people to really be able to process and go through to navigate that experience. What I've seen is that a lot of staff, so not just teachers, but paraprofessionals and other people in the education system, don't feel that they're heard. Many times when they come to their supervisors, it's always like comments like, maybe they didn't mean it that way, or maybe making it sound like it's that person's issue rather than their experience. And so I think there's a lot of work to do in that area. We have implemented an Employees of Color Resource Group in my district, and I'm one of the co-leads for that. We have tried doing networking places, and that has received a very positive feedback from our members, because now all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, I didn't know all of you existed in our district. And so it gives people opportunities to connect, but also to know that their experiences are valid, that there's other people who are experiencing the same things. So that has been very positive. With that, we have also provided some professional development specific to our members when it comes to naming the experiences and then being able to take that and empower them to move away from a place of pain so that we can move towards healing and figuring out what that looks like for each specific individual. Did that answer your question?
And I'm going to just interject here, because we only have 3 more minutes before we get to a vote certain, because we have another bill. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to have it in there. We have several hands up. We will get through as many as we can before we vote at 2:15. So I'll ask members to keep it brief to one brief question or comment. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I just have a brief comment. I do appreciate the goals of this bill. We need more teachers of color. I authored previous renditions of this bill. I do wish that we'd pass the amendment that Representative Erickson just brought forward. I think she did a great job in addressing the barriers that are left in place with the current rendition of the bill. Frankly, I believe we need to do more, not just to increase the number of teachers of color, but also in other areas as well, even in content areas. We have shortages. But I do appreciate the good intentions of this bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Erdahl. Representative Juskowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the discussion today. Madam Chair, I'm going to save most of my comments on this bill if it does come to the floor. Again, we're seeing at least the third major bill that I have seen that that portends to fight racism, but does it with policy that is racist. And until we stop dividing people and trying to pit one group of people against another, we are not going to be able to talk effectively in this state. And I'm very disappointed at the language that's in here, the institutional racism stuff. We are the least racist country in our history right now, and we're the least racist country in the world. Until we can acknowledge those realities, until we can talk with each other instead of pitting one group against another like we do throughout this bill, we're not going to have success continuing to move in the direction that we've moved in our history and until recently have been moving with quite alacrity. So I will look forward to talking about this more when it gets to the floor. I'll be voting no on the bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Christensen, brief comment or question.
Thank you. I voted incorrectly on the amendment, and so I'm not sure where we can go from there, but I'd at least like to get it on the record that I did vote incorrectly and that I did not support the amendment. Is that okay for me to do?
Well, it's on the record now because this is recorded. Yeah. And it is 2:15 and we need to move on to the actual vote on the bill as we have a second bill to get to. But that is noted,
okay.
Representative Christensen, for the minutes.
Thanks so much.
You are welcome. Vice Chair Hassan, brief last words on your bill.
I humbly ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hassan. Renews her motion to refer House File 3079 to the Committee on Education Finance. The clerk will take the roll on the bill. Richardson votes aye.
Aye, Richardson. Vice Chair Hassan?
Aye.
Representative Erickson?
Erickson votes no.
Representative Bennett?
Bennett, no.
Representative Berg?
Berg, yes.
Representative Bow?
Bow, no.
Representative Christensen?
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Representative Edelson?
Aye.
Representative Feist?
Aye.
Representative Frazier? Representative Frazier? Representative Jordan?
Jordan, aye.
Representative Keeler?
Keeler, aye.
Representative Moeller?
Aye.
Representative Mueller?
Mueller votes no.
Representative Poston?
Poston, no.
Representative Scott?
Scott, no.
Representative Erdahl?
Erdahl, yes.
Representative Wozlowick?
Yes.
Representative Frazier? Oh, I see that he's about to get on the call. Representative Frazier?
Aye.
Madam Chair, there are 12 ayes and 7 nays.
With 12 ayes, the motion prevails and the bill is referred to the Committee on Education Finance. Thank you, Vice Chair Hassan. Up next, we have House File 2131. Representative Berg, would you like to move House File 2131 to be before the committee?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move that it be before the committee.
Thank you, Representative Berg. Please explain your bill.
Madam Chair and members, this is a fairly simple bill. We know that abuse thrives with secrecy, fear, and shame. It's why many people never report it, seek help, or it takes a significant amount of time for them to do so. And when the abuse is happening to children who don't have the life experience or the knowledge of resources available to them, it can just remain unreported, unchecked, and pervasive. But there is something that we can do about it as adults that advocate for the safety of our children. And that's what this bill addresses. It gives kids the opportunity to see a poster at school that would have the number for an abuse hotline. And they would be able to skip the step of going possibly in shame or fear to even a trusted adult in the school and go directly to what may feel more comfortable as anonymous help. I have an amazing advocate here to testify in favor of this bill, and I would like to pass the remaining time to her.
Thank you, Representative Berg. I believe that your testifier is Janice Bundes. If you could unmute yourself, introduce yourself for the record, and proceed with your testimony. I'm not hearing anything. I don't know.
Thank you. Oh, can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you, yes.
Thank
please,
you.
Please introduce yourself and proceed with your
testimony. Thank you. Honorable Chairwoman Richardson and members of the House Education Committee, my name is Janice Bundes. Thank you for holding this hearing and allowing me the opportunity to testify before you today in support of House File 2131. The statistics I will offer are provided by Darkness to Light and the Center of Child Advocacy. 70% of victims of sexual abuse are under the age of 18, yet the child abuse hotline number is not being advertised to students in Minnesota. In instances of abuse, children should have the resources to protect themselves when the adults in their life fail to do so. I am qualified to speak for students who are being molested. My father molested me before I was 6 years old. My two brothers and my cousin molested me during the time I attended elementary school. They acted together as a group and also as individuals. I was raped by my brother. My mother and my aunt were aware I was being molested. Together, they made the choice to protect the males. I was warned not to tell. I watched my own mother walk through the room the nights when I was being molested. I wanted her to stop, look me in the eye, and help me, but she never intervened. When I told her about the pain I felt in my genitals, she told me to use Vaseline. Often others were in the same room watching television when I was being molested. They ignored what was happening to me. I wanted to scream. I didn't, because I knew no one cared. I knew I had no value, which translated in my mind, I deserved what was being done to me. As an adult, I asked myself, what could have been in place that would have helped me as a child, that will help children today who are suffering abuse in silence? This poster is the answer. Posting the child abuse hotline number in schools will accomplish four goals. It informs students they are valued. It educates students they have the right and the power to self-report abuse. It gives students the mechanism to report abuse while they're in the safe environment of the school without having to look an adult in the eye to make that initial report. And it puts predators on notice. 40% of children who are abused by older, more powerful children, by students. Consider the financial impact these statistics have on Minnesota. 45% of pregnant teens report a history of sexual abuse. 60% of women who are incarcerated had been sexually abused. Drug and alcohol dependency, 70% preceded by sexual abuse. Students in Minnesota do have three options available them to report the abuse. They can call 911. But the thought of a police officer coming into my home after I had been warned not to tell would stop me from making that call. Students can tell a mandated reporter while they're safe at school. Personally, I never would have looked any mandated reporter in the eye and try to tell them what was being done to me. Students can go online to make a report, that is, if they have access to a computer, can complete this particular search, and have the time to complete the necessary form and submit it without being detected. The Children's Advocacy Center created a poster for this legislation in both English and Spanish. I have made it available in Somali and Hmong. A well-established tech company has agreed to insert Minnesota's child abuse hotline number on the poster free of charge, and they will also put the poster online so that every school in Minnesota will be able to download the poster off of the internet and print the poster on site at no cost to them. I would like to mention the sentence that is at the bottom of this poster. It speaks to me. It says, never keep a secret that upsets you. Passing this bill would allow Minnesota to join 47 states that have the child abuse hotline number displayed in schools. The National Conference of State Legislators wrote a brief in January of 2015 in support of this legislation, calling it concrete, simple, and an inexpensive way for school children to seek help in a safe environment. The National Prevent Child Abuse Policy Team selected this legislation as one in five in the nation to promote. Mark Klass, you might have seen his movie, a father of a son who was raped and murdered by a dangerous sexual predator, strongly supports this legislation. Thank you for your attention and your consideration of House File 2131.
Thank you for becoming before the committee today and also for being willing to share your personal story with us today. We appreciate you testifying today and all that you're doing to help support children as well. We have just a few minutes left, and we've got a couple of hands. Rep Moeller and Rep Keeler, if you could keep it brief, that would be appreciated. Representative Moeller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Very briefly, first, thank you, Ms. Fundis. I'm sorry that happened to you, and thank you for sharing your story with us and advocating today. I very much support this bill. I have one comment, which is, this is a great idea. We need it. We also need comprehensive sex education as well to help reduce sexual assault. But my question for you is there a text number as well, not just a phone number? Because a lot of students these days are feel more comfortable with texting, and I didn't know if that's something that's out there.
Ms. Bundes.
Not that I'm aware of. I think that's a great idea. I think that's something to look into, but not to my knowledge.
Representative Moeller. Representative Keeler, I see your hand went down. Did you have a comment?
No, Chair, that's fine. We can go to the vote.
There will be no vote on this, so there is time for a quick comment if you'd like.
Oh, yes. Then I do actually want to say so. Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Burke, for bringing this to our attention. I think it follows up, in the conversation that we've had about sex trafficking as well, knowing that this is happening all across the state. As I worked as an Indian education liaison, building relationships with students and families, at times it took years for them to build a relationship with me to even say that minimal things were happening to them. And I believe that we had a unique opportunity to build really trusting relationships with students over 6 years at a time. And I think that the messaging that this is happening all over Minnesota and all of our students need this help is really important to recognize that this doesn't just happen in one of our communities to one pocket of individuals. And so this is something that we need across the board. This is something that I know and we all know that our kids are screaming for. We need to have these supports. I also just wanted to add, I like that it's in language. I think that that's really important as well. A lot of the information we send out, is always in English, just making sure that we have all of the avenues covered so that every student, I know in my district alone, we have over 40 languages spoken. And I know that that gets really difficult, costly, and timely to add that to these posters and information. But I think it's extremely important that we look at how our students and how individuals are going to be able to read and retain this information to be able to utilize it as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Keeler, for your comments. My apologies to Representative Drazkowski. We're coming up on time, and I would like to give the final word to the author, Representative Berg. Representative Berg.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I don't think that there is anything that I can say that would be as powerful as our testifier's story. I would just say that I am among the people that didn't have the courage to share some of my stories over the course of my lifetime, which compounded to more abuse as I got older. And so had maybe there been a more anonymous route that was clear and available to me, I might have had the courage to do that. But since that didn't happen, I will remain a passionate advocate for this type of avenue for our children moving forward. Thank you, Chair Richardson, for having me present this bill in committee.
Thank you, Representative Berg. House File 2131 is laid over for possible inclusion in a committee omnibus bill. Just a reminder that our next meeting is Monday, February 14th. There being no further business before the committee, we are adjourned. Thank you all.